Well, what can we say? It's another Friday night, and I'm telling you, I'm starting to get a little bit okay with being on the Facebook Live. I'll be honest, I was a little uneasy about it, but I'm starting to really like it, especially once we start simulcasting, then I won't have to worry about anything. Only thing that is going to happen with that, though, and what's going on, everybody, you are listening to, quite frankly, is the Friday night, so obviously there's no intro because there's copyrighted music in the intro, 30 seconds of Shinedown, and Facebook is just not very forgiving. And music is actually the other thing that was coming up for me when I was thinking about this before, because once we had the technology over here, which the upgrades should be in by the end of December for sure. We're going to be rolling out in January with a whole new kick here. And every night of the week, there's going to be something going live across Capstone Broadcasting Network right here in the studio every night of the week. I'll probably do, quite frankly, twice a week, simulcast both places. But on that night, even though I'll be going live from Facebook and from YouTube, I'll have to play Facebook-friendly music. So I'm going to be playing all the public domain music like this. But tonight we have great guests. We have great guests coming on at 7:10. So in about 8 minutes, we got DC and Einstein from Wake and Bake with us. I told you guys, Wake and Bake is the, they're the channel, they're the group on YouTube, and check them out. They got a lot of great stuff. They do a lot of work, they work often, and they put out stuff often. It's great. And they're going to be on with us, and I've been telling you guys about them. They're the ones, it came from them, songs like that song Vishnu with the video with the Vietnam footage, and you have the Hindu prayer being said in the background, and we're going to talk to them about that, because Einstein and DC, they've got different tracks, got good stuff here too, really, really awesome stuff, and it's also very, very pro-cannabis music, okay? Now, Capstone Broadcasting is very, very pro-cannabis, medicinal, recreational network, so of course, I think, what better time? What better first, like, official guest on a Friday night broadcast on Facebook on Capstone than to have Wake and Bake come on? Because I had emailed them a couple of months ago or something like that, and only recently I followed up with them again, and I got them on for tonight. So they'll be Skyping in from different locations, but that will be that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to call them in about 7 minutes or so. And let me see. Oh, here's my favorite. I want to bring this one up. Listen to this. This is a mix of Bill O'Reilly. You know the classic Bill O'Reilly freak out? Listen to this right here.
5, 4, 3.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
And this is just—it's just awesome stuff, like all over the place. I think I gotta ask them who did this. If this was something that they did together, they do a lot more. You know, is it more like a Beatles kind of situation? Is everybody just throwing their own contributions to the channel up there, or do you have a lot of joint projects? So I'm gonna ask them all that stuff. Can't wait to talk about that. This is just some good stuff. And a new one they just put out, a new track they just put out today is called Toronto, so check that out too. We'll get around to it. But what do I want to get around to also in the first 10 minutes? I had a great talk yesterday, and tonight we're going to be doing a marijuana, cannabis, weight loss diet. I thought that was interesting. But I got some other stuff too. I've got this, they recreated what Robert the Bruce looks like. So they took Robert the Bruce's skull. Of course, if you watched Braveheart, which I got to bring that up with Wake and Bake too. I thought I heard some kind of a sample from Braveheart in one of their songs I was listening to today. I'm not sure which one it is now, so I'll ask them. But from the Mirror, this is going to be an interesting one because I have a question about this. Amazing first ever look at Robert the Bruce's face, created 700 years after his death. Now, they've done stuff like this I saw on, like, Discovery Channel and Natural Geographic for other historical figures, including, like, Jesus of Nazareth and a few others. And they recreated the dinosaurs, right? Still, do we know? And they recreate the dinosaurs, what they look like? Or is a dinosaur's face a lot less subtle than a human's? We got a lot of subtle... No. Yeah, maybe their differences are a little bit more subtle. You know? Human faces. I can't see how you can take a skull and recreate what the person looked like. Like, exactly. And not be off. But we'll talk about that. Maybe they have explanations. Maybe you have explanations. I need answers. So... Got that to talk about, but I had a really great talk with the interns last night because the studio's interns, it was the end of their semester last night, and that was it. And that was our first wave of interns in many years. And they helped us out with the transition from ZenLive.tv to Gaslight and all that stuff. And it was a really good learning experience for them and us, to be honest. Oh, at least I hope it was a good learning experience for them. But they got to help with live on-air support for the Quite Frankly podcast. So obviously they're listening in on a lot of conversations, stuff they probably don't hear a lot of. Coming from my alma mater, I know that it's a pretty liberal campus. And I don't think that there's a lot of conservative teachers on there too. So, and not to paint it as right, left, conservative, liberal as that, but you know what I mean. Like college in general is not the best place to look for really open-minded people these days, which is unfortunate because that used to be the place where you got challenged as fuck. Now this is supposed to be just an extension of the bassinet. So everybody's supposed to be just be getting lulled to a comfortable sleep in their college bassinet now with their playthings and their rattles. That's just what we have. Kids are playing with Play-Doh and pinning themselves with safety pins to make sure that nobody has a hysterical breakdown because somebody else has an opinion. So, I mean, I pretty much took this opportunity to make sure that in a very responsible way I exposed them to different ways of thinking and approaching problems and being able to break down arguments and look at things in a detached type of way. Not so much, hey, come to the other side, so much as so to be able to become dispassionate with the things that you're seeing, with the information that you're processing, and how you go and apply it to what's really going on around you in the real world reality. Because our perceptions of reality is being taken away from us. That's the most dangerous thing. Fake news, or, you know, I'm not afraid of fake news. Because when I see something, I have a couple of different layers and a couple of different processes I go through to make sure that something is what it is, or, you know, to take what I need from it and then do away with the hyperbole or the rhetoric or something like that. I'm not afraid of fake news. Most of the people that watch this show are not afraid of fake news either, because we laugh at what's ridiculous. We cross-check and we cross-reference in other ways. We don't try to satisfy some kind of a confirmation bias, and that's it. But when you don't have people that are that are capable of really, really interpreting reality without first looking through that lens, then, yeah, a lot of things become a little bit more dangerous. That's when you need somebody to come in and say, no, 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 this is fake. That's fake. Read this one. This is the state-sponsored news. You know, that's the dangerous thing. And then, of course, the slightly more intelligent ones internalize the bullshit as their own thoughts and then go out on a crusade. And their logic doesn't get challenged often because they've managed. They're smart enough to evade, deflect, and bullshit us. So those are the type of people you have to watch out for. You got the dummies, and you have the slightly smarter dummies. You'll know how to find them. Well, in either case, it's 7:10. Let's get our buddies from Wake and Bake on. I'm going to call up DC and Einstein right now. It's a new, oh, by the way, this is the new Skype account, everybody. So that's why you hear things now. Usually there's not a ringing. I got to tell you about it. New Skype account. So we got away from the Zen Live TV Skype. And joining us right now, DC and Einstein, Wake and Bake, what is going on, boys?
What's up?
Yo, you know Master Bong?
Yeah, I do. He sent me the shirt a little bit ago. We do some of his soundtrack stuff, actually.
Dude, Master Bong used to, his show streamed right out of our studio, right here.
Oh, that's far out.
Actually, not this studio, the old studio we just got out of. But yeah, I think you guys know Gypsy, our program director from a while back. He was actually Master Bong's engineer.
Yeah, I think that's who got us in touch with Master Bong initially.
Actually, well, there you go. Beautiful. That's awesome. So hats off to you guys and Master Bong. So, well, Einstein, you there? He's not there. Well, in either case, it's just you and me right now, DC. So let me ask you something. Wake and Bake, where do you go? How far do you and Einstein go back? And first of all, you know, how far do you guys go back? Because it seems like you have to be close to be able to create on this level. But you guys are Skyping in from two different states right now. Where do you know each other from?
I went to elementary school with Shelby. He actually came to my elementary school in like fourth grade, and we've been friends pretty much ever since. But he always played piano, and like I played drums and stuff. And then he wanted to be like a rapper for a little bit in eighth grade, so I used to beatbox, and then he'd rap and stuff. And then over time, we kind of just moved over towards beats, and we had our own channels for a long time too. And back in 2011, we had the idea to kind of just combine our stuff together and see if we could kind of like combine our fan bases and just kind of make something new.
You know, that's what I wanted to ask you. It's a question that just came up in the opening segment. So like when you guys started working together, was this an idea that you had for two of you, or, you know, how much of this do you, I should ask, how much of this do you collaborate on? Because I see you guys have individual contributions to the channel, but then there's some other things that don't have any specification. Do you guys collaborate on some stuff?
Yeah, I think, you know, since we started out on our own channels, a lot of our stuff, it'll be like the new video we just posted up Toronto, that's one of my instrumentals, and then Vishnu's one of mine. But then stuff like the Awesome Beat or Classy Beat, that's some of Einstein's material. So, you know, we have our own stuff, but then we have a ton of beats that we also kind of like collab on, and we'll put those up as collab beats. But even when we're not collabing, you know, we send our stuff back and forth and give each other notes and kind of, you know, Shelby will kind of give me ideas about the mix. And, you know, it's always good to get a second opinion.
Yeah, well, by all means. And I, you know, you mentioned Vishnu. I want to bring this one up. And until we get Einstein on the call, it says, you know, let me try to call him.
He said he just got a message from Einstein. He said he's actually in the call, but he can't.
I'm calling him back right now. Let's see if this fixes anything.
Okay.
Einstein, you there? What the hell, man? Maybe he should call us. Because it only says two participants, not three.
Yeah, let me.
So, Einstein, try to call us if you hear us right now. But DC, just for the sake of flow here, with Vishnu, the thing that really stuck out to me was this is obviously a Hindu prayer song, and I have a little bit of experience around the Hindu religion, and I was very, very interested in just the mantra type of way that this was being dropped. But the other thing, and as you can see on the screen right now, this is the footage from the film. You sourced a lot of Vietnam War footage, a lot of really, really unsettling sights for a sound, which, in, you know, when you hear these prayer songs being done in person, they're gorgeous. you know, and yeah. But there's something done to pitch this down that really brings an aura of uneasiness just to the prayer itself as well. And I love that so much.
Thanks. With the beat itself, you know, I found that prayer like a while back and just kind of had it in a drum kit that I had sitting around for a while and went to it. And I tried pitching it down just to see if I could make a trap beat out of it, just for irony's sake, just because I felt like, you know, they kind of have that duality to them. You have a Hindu prayer talking about, you know, all the aspects of Brahman and, you know, giving kind of acknowledging him as the guru. And then you have like the beat itself kind of being a kind of trap and hedonistic sort of.
It is. And where'd you get the vocal line, that shout right there, right here?
Oh, that's Future, which I felt like kind of added to the whole thing too, because Future's a, you know, I would say he's one of the most hedonistic rappers I can think of, at least in the mainstream.
This is all the insight that I love. Now, where do you guys? I'm really upset that we can't get Einstein back on.
Yeah, but I have no idea what's going on. He said he's trying to talk. He's in the call.
It only says two participants, so I don't know. Let me try one more time. Well. Is that him?
Nah. Thought something happened. It says he's in the call. I have no idea. Oh, there, he just joined again.
All right, hold on. You know what? Tell him to accept me as a contact on Skype.
That's probably what it is.
That's probably it. He's not, because I called him and he wasn't a contact. Let's see.
There we go. I just sent him a message. Oh, you can hear it.
You got it? Let's see. You know what? I'm going to call both of you guys back.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll,
it seems
we'll do
like
that. I'll call you that. So listen to the song for a second. We have DC and Einstein of Wake and Bake Beats on with us until we go to the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to go on to taking your calls at home and all that stuff. It's going to be great. Going to be another great Friday night in the books here. Hey boys, are you both there this time? I think we got.
I'm here.
We got
there's
it.
There's Shelby.
Einstein, you're there. What's Einstein? Can you hear us?
Oh man, we can see him, but now we can't hear him.
Now we can see him, but we can't hear him. This is just how things go.
Einstein, just write out like signs and hold them up to the screen. How we're
going to
communicate. There we go.
Hold on one second. You know what? We're going to do it one more time. I'm going to drop it with Einstein. Okay, I dropped him. And now we're calling Einstein back up.
Let's see what we get. Oh.
Did this work? No. He's still muted. I don't know what it is. Oh, wait. Something just happened.
Hello.
There you are.
There we go.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, it's been solved.
All right. So let me tell you how to solve this problem.
Okay.
You need to not have your headphones plugged in, and you need to answer with a video call. So that's how you solve that problem in the future. I don't know what the hell, why that was happening like that, but
I'm happy to finally have you both on. Now, we were just talking about where you guys derive a lot of your inspiration, and I was talking to DC specifically about Vishnu and all the elements that came, because that song, I'm telling you, slays me, man. I've been listening to that song. It makes an appearance at least on every show the last 2 weeks, if you listen to What's Underneath. But aside from that, Einstein, you've got a lot of stuff. Actually, some of the first songs from the channel that I ever saw came out of you, and we have them all throughout our playlist as well. Where do you guys, now obviously you guys are a very cannabis-friendly duo, or at least you have the overtones and undertones and all of the innuendos there. How amazing of a, where do your journeys take you with the creating the music and you know, are you going for a stoner audience? Are you going for the deeper thinkers? Are you going for those that like to get a little bit hazy and just melt away? What is it?
Well, we're going for all of the above. You know, honestly, we're just us, and whoever is into us likes us. I mean, we don't really try to be someone for everyone. You know, whoever likes us is who's into us. I mean, we definitely have that you know, undertone of the stoner thing. I mean, the name is Wake and Bake, but we don't overdo it. Like, you know, there's some groups that are just, you know, they're just weed. But like, that's not, I mean, at least I can speak for myself. My inspiration doesn't just come from weed. I mean, like, yeah, it's
absolutely. So,
Listen, there's a lot here. I have to bring this up too, because I can tell that it's a lot deeper than that. I just, you know, I'm going for the vibe, you know, an overall a vibe, a really chill type of approach to thing. I like the whole Wake and Bake type of approach, because it really does. There's not a lot of stress there, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as inspiration, I want to get around to this, because there's a couple of really awesome, samples that I wanted to bring up. Number one, I heard the Dean Martin sample, Einstein.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that was just awesome. Hold on. You know what? Actually, I got it over here. Which one?
Play that.
Let me see here. Is this it? Is it Classy Smooth? Which one is it?
Classy Smooth. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. This lesson's... Oh, damn. Because you guys are on the phone, it makes it a little bit lower, softer over here. But it's the... I picked it up right away, Dino's voice, man. And then it got me ready for the song. There was another one. I forgot. Your old school, your Halloween beats we were just listening to right now. I know you guys have seen good movies. I know you guys have good culture, and it comes out in the music. I think that's what I'm trying to get across.
One of my biggest inspirations, especially for when I'm doing the videos, like I made the video for Vishnu, I made the video for the newest one that just came out to Toronto. I do pretty much all the visuals for our channel and for all of our music, and I am actually a huge movie nerd, and I am definitely into all the visuals and everything, and I'm really into retro and vintage pop culture, not just what's going on now. Like, I love Dean. I think Dean Martin is like the coolest guy ever. Like, here, look at this. Look at that poster on my wall right there,
dude.
That's Dean Martin. That's Frank Sinatra, and that's, I think,
Peter Lawford.
I forget. I think it's Peter Lawford. I think those guys are like the coolest guys ever. But I mean, when it comes to movies and stuff, I'm a huge Stanley Kubrick fan.
Hey, do you guys have the same type of traditions? Like, we went out on Sunday to Alamo Draft House over here because it was a special screening, and we always watch this movie in December, but Eyes Wide Shut. We're big fans of Kubrick as well over here too. So
that's it's funny that you mentioned that, because DC actually, I was asking him last night, because I was finishing up the Toronto video last night. I was asking him for like a voice sample, like just something creepy, because I don't know if you saw, there's parts in the Toronto video where like it'll like flash the words like kill or like 666. And we definitely wanted like a subliminal message undertone. And he linked me to the video Eyes Wide Shut, that ritual scene where... I don't know what's going on in that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the mass, I think, that they're having.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you haven't seen Eyes Wide Shut?
That's the one movie I haven't seen yet. That's on my to see list.
That was his last one, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
that was 1999. Right?
It was 99. You know what? And I'll send you guys a link so that you can look out for all the Easter eggs in there. You want to talk about 10 miles deep? There's a lot of shit going on in there. But we're watching Toronto's on the screen right now, and I love the icy blue type of feel to this. I don't know, there's just something about it.
That entire video is actually POV of planes landing in bad weather. So, and I thought that, I mean, I love stormy weather and just the vibe it brings, and I get a lot of inspiration from that. And just like, you know, seeing the lights when from the pilot's point of view is just, it's so hypnotic. And then when I mirrored it, so the lights are on the bottom and the top, and it's just, it to me, you can just go like, I mean, you just get lost in it, just, you know, moving forward. And I tried to change it up, the perspective, every which way I could.
And it links up just so well with the frequency. I don't know, the music puts you on a certain frequency where you're kind of a little bit more open up to it, because it's a desolation to it. It's almost like, it's a very like desolate type of a sound where you can just as well be hearing this coming through a speaker in a little capsule in deep space where you're the only one there, and that could be either peaceful or scary, you know?
Oh yeah. I want it to be scary.
You know, it definitely is. There's something there, man. And that's why I couldn't wait to get you on. And all the classic art.
Oh yeah. That's flashes. Like my shit. Yeah. I'm so into the Baroque period and the Renaissance, yeah. And just I love the motion in the paintings and just how there's so much passion in it, and just the colors, the darkness of it, the beauty in the horror of murder. That I love that. I love all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and especially in those classical paintings, for sure. I love the oil, all oil canvas. I love that. I love it all. Oil paintings are fantastic. Matt, what's going on, man? I just saw you walked in.
What's up, bro?
We're on the phone with DC and Einstein, Wake and Bake Beats.
What's up?
So guys, Matt is here. But yeah, what you're talking about there about all of that type of feeling. I get it a lot, too. I get that type of nostalgia, too, not only just reaching back to the Dean Martins, because I'll tell you, I can watch those Dean Martin roasts every night of the week, and it's just as funny as anything that people just try their hardest to do today. You know, and it was just a very, very natural thing. We were a lot more looser as a society, and guys like that were just like, they seemed like your uncles. And I love the VHS feel though too, stuff like
I really... love that. I definitely want to incorporate VHS like lettering and like the how things will like glitch and stuff in the videos. Yeah. But talking about Dean Martin, all done. There's a video that I think I got that voice sample from on YouTube. It's called it's like when times were different or something like that, or back when TV was good or something like that. And it has, you know, Dean Martin comes out with his alcoholic drink, and in the other hand he's got a cigarette, and they're all passing it around and everything, and I just think it's like amazing. They're on Johnny Carson and it's Don Rickles and all that. I love that shit.
And you know, the other thing too, if you watch those, especially when he was on, I forgot what interview it was, but he might have been on there with Don Rickles at the time, and if you read anything that his daughter ever wrote about him afterwards, his kids would tell you that the drunk, slurring, switching up of words, dope, that was all an act. And most of the time, you know, he was sloshed. You know, he got sloshed when he could. But most of the time, that was his act. A lot of time, he wasn't drinking whiskey, bourbon, whatever the hell it was. And
heard it with apple juice.
Yeah, apple juice, something like that. Anything that's tinted. But it was an act. And to see these guys commit to stuff like that, it was just, I don't know, it was a lot more pure. Because they're very self-deprecating. Everybody wants to look good these days.
Yeah. Self-deprecation, it's something that we kind of really need back to society.
Totally.
They were very, very real.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think about Dean Martin?
Great guy. Great voice. Classy.
He is.
Big dick.
he's got the big... The biggest.
I've never seen a picture of Dean Martin's dick anywhere.
No, that's going to come out in the Netflix special next year. It's going to be Dean Martin's dick. Hey, speaking of Netflix, I hope everybody went home and watched that episode on... I told you guys, go check out the 60s series and watch the Space Race episode. While the Death... It's good stuff. But are you guys fans of history? What kind of movies do you tend to gravitate toward? Tell us a little bit something about more that you would draw influence from.
I think...
DC, how about start with you?
Sorry. I mean, history is my favorite subject, honestly. I've been a huge fan of history since I was a kid. When I was really little, I had, like, this geography program on my computer that I got really into for some reason.
And but, what's your favorite place to go to in history? Favorite historical time?
Ancient Egypt or ancient Greece, probably.
Okay,
I think that they had their philosophy, like, really on point, and they were... Egypt, by the end of it, was much more far advanced than a lot of other cultures. Like, they had started recognizing inner divinity, and they had started kind of recognizing a lot of pretty deep philosophical concepts that cultures are still having trouble with now.
Mm. I think that if they got us that close to the edge of just jumping off and coasting to another plateau, we've definitely taken a few steps back from there. I don't think that we're a very enlightened society right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But polarization is sort of something that's being more inflicted on people rather than anything else. I mean, we're pretty much saturated with us versus them in almost everything. You got, you know, Coke or Pepsi, you have America versus the Russians, you have all this and that. There's always something dividing people. There's always something to kind of cause hate or some division instead of unify people and bring them back to, like, what's actually there.
And speaking to Einstein's point about classic art and being a real fan of the Renaissance, we need to be Renaissance men and women again, because we really did slip into a dark age, and we need to it's some sort of a dark age, especially with all the technology and all everything that we have available to us. It's amazing how we right now can spread ideas. Think about how slowly it took for the idea of democracy and republican forms of government to spread across the ancient Mediterranean, just because it was just something that had to travel with people. There was no other way of communication. It just had to travel with people and had to be tried out. There is so many. It took that long to do that. And to think that we have the amount of technology to communicate with other people right now and spread different types of ideas, and we still haven't tapped into a critical mass to really think about expansion of the soul and the mind in that type of a way yet. It's got to be corrupted somewhere. There's got to be a governor on this. You know, there has to be something because if we were able to do this and create civilization without the internet, without all of this stuff, and create new philosophy and tap into something to have these renaissances, then there's got to be something at play to prevent us from doing it even quicker than we did over the course of hundreds of years.
I think that you'd find that any government would love to regulate the internet if they could, and a lot of them are having trouble coping with the fact that it's not very easy and it's not really feasible a lot of times to do it, especially in this country. I think you'd see people out on the streets the moment they tried to do anything related to the internet. I think we're going to be heading towards another one in half the time that it took us, you know, from where we started last time. I think the internet is going to be sort of the next evolutionary step for us as a species, because it's what will, in essence, basically connect everyone together, make it so people aren't, their ideas aren't separated by thousands of miles. You know, you can talk to anyone you want, people you might have never encountered otherwise, you can see. I think that that's going to have a huge impact on history.
And Einstein, what are some of your thoughts on that? And going back to the original question about things that you derive inspiration from, even if it's just books or whatever.
Listen, I think that we're going through a pretty dark time right now in the world. That's, I don't know. I don't really touch in areas like that too much. But as far as inspiration, I mean, like I said, I pretty much don't get my inspiration just from music. I mean, if anywhere, I could say I get most of my inspiration outside of music. Mostly, I would say, from movies. I find that my inspiration is very seasonal, actually. I'm way more artistic in the winter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, books, art, paintings, like, you know.
Are you the dark side of the moon, more so of this collaboration? Are you a little bit more? You seem like you're a little bit more prone to dabble in the dark.
I think I would definitely say I'm more dark. I'm definitely more dark.
Yeah, well, hey, look, you guys are definitely have a philosophical grasp on things, and you know what time of day it is. But you know what? You need both. I know a lot of people that are very, very, you know, no, get out of my positive space. Like, are you kidding me? I was like, you need both, or else you damage yourself. Too much of one thing, not good.
You need the yin and yang.
I definitely see us pushing, you know, in the future, pushing boundaries of what is considered, you know, okay. And I really want to do stuff like that. So I'm, you know, you're going to be seeing some pretty weird and fucked up stuff coming out of us, and but some also beautiful, some also beautiful stuff. So
I can't wait.
Look out for that.
I can't wait. And I want to thank you both, you guys, for coming on again tonight, everybody. This was DC and Einstein of Wake and Bake Beats. Check out Wake and Bake on YouTube. They're on Facebook. Just great, great channel to be subscribed to. And guys, this is not going to be the last time you are going to be invited onto the show. I hope you accept the invitation, and I'll talk to you soon. Anything you guys want to plug or drop, please put it out there.
Watch that new video, Toronto. I guarantee you, you'll love it. Smoke a fuckload of weed before you do it, too.
That's it, Toronto. What else? And
drop some acid, too. Check out our SoundCloud. Check out my EP, 7 Days, 7 Cities, on there. That's where Toronto came from.
Yeah.
And check out this man's SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah. It's sorry, man. A rapper I'm really late about that. I am... My name's Kevin Lives.
What's up,
check
Kevin?
Out Kevin Lives on SoundCloud. Flutter, we just dropped it. Dirty Chocolate, we got Levitate. We have a whole project we're recording next week. It's going to be a turn up.
Sounds good, man. Yo, I thank you guys so much for being a part of the show tonight. You kick ass.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Take care. Hey now. Well, so what are you going to do? What are you gonna, hey, Matt, how you, first of all, that was a fantastic call. Can't wait to get this up on SoundCloud myself. This is going to be a great episode. But now the phone lines are going to be open for you guys to call in. What do you think? Matt, how's your day?
It's good, bro.
Yo, why isn't your camera? Your camera's frozen again. Very weird. You got your shoulder put back in?
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You got to put it back in?
Yeah.
How did it feel when it slipped back in?
It hurt a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
What else did she do?
My knee, my everything. Everything was fucked up top to bottom, bro. But then she had to stop because I was detoxing too much.
Dude, you're probably burning up.
I didn't feel it. I could have kept going.
It's not about that. You break up a lot of toxins when that shit happens. You start feeling the surface of your skin gets hot as hell.
Yeah, I can handle it, bro.
It's not about handling it.
I think if what she equated the pain that I was going through for a week was to childbirth. So I think I can handle a little fucking heat.
Your shoulder split open and a child came out of you?
No. The pain is the equivalent to that. It's a constant fucking pain. Dude, it felt like someone was...
Well, you know, you have to
like
go
someone
back.
Someone was hanging from my arm. Like a human being was wrapped around my arm with nothing, their feet not touching the ground, just hanging on my arm.
And I don't know how you allowed it to go on.
Because I slept on it at nighttime, so this way it didn't hurt that bad during the day when I had to work.
So you slept on it as it was out of the... thing.
It didn't work.
Damn, dude. That's just not good ways of approaching a serious problem. You gotta learn a new way of approaching serious problems.
Yeah. Deal with it. Get through it.
Yep. Deal with it. Get through it. No. Well, there's a simple fix for this, Matt. No. Bring on the future. Well, no. Do you understand that you would be able to work easier and for longer? No. It was my lot in life to be injured. I'm going to stay injured.
This is my lot in life.
This is my lot. Oh. So I'm still writing the last of the letters that I have to send out there for the 1776 Club for Patreon Patriots and all that. All the Patreon supporters of the show. The last of the letters I'm writing going out. It's already been so fun. You know... There is a cipher out there. Okay, there's a cipher that's been created. And I have... it was actually Gadget Doc and I. Our letters to each other are signed in our names, pretty much. But all the messages are in numbers. So we've been starting all these double ciphers and stuff like that. It's been pretty cool. And we're all pen pals. See, this is a good thing to do, you know? I don't know. I like the spending of time that way. Writing letters to people? Fuck. Hell yes. Oh, let's see here. So, Matt, did you know that there's a marijuana diet?
I'll try it.
For weight loss.
Marijuana diet for weight loss.
Well, yeah, there's weed that makes you not hungry.
Yeah, listen to this. This is for everybody at home, remember. And I wish Matt was... I wish you guys can see him, but it's just not...
That's me. Now go back to my camera.
Oh, the one next to you works. Although the screen's not on, so you're not going to be able to see your face. Yeah, put your hand up. See, there's Matt. See, it works. Yeah. All right, so listen to this. Now we got all the contact requests coming in. Yeah, guys, the new Skype is Quite Frankly Podcast. Type in Quite Frankly Podcast, and there you are. So here we go. Making the marijuana diet work for you.
It's good and good for you.
It's good and good for you.
Okay, Guy Blow.
It's Shiloh. The term marijuana diet may sound like an oxymoron to some, considering the notorious munchie side effect has regular users consuming hundreds of calories more than their non-smoking counterparts. But recent studies indicate otherwise. One such study, conducted by American Journal of Medicine, surveyed 4,657 adults, of which 579 reported to use marijuana regularly, and found that those who had used cannabis at least 3 to 5 times each week had a 16% lower fasting insulin levels. Other studies, though few and far between, have come up with similar results. Insulin, which is produced primarily by the pancreas. Matt, does that make you feel weird?
What, insulin?
To think about an organ inside of you producing a hormone.
The only organ that I think about inside of me producing anything that wouldn't bother me would be your cock, bro.
So welcome for all the many viewers and the many new viewers tonight. This is Quite Frankly.
Yeah, it bothers me, bro. Having a heart and knowing that my heart is beating bothers me, bro.
No, dude, listen. I already told you, listen. This is the thing for me. I am completely, at no time am I not freaked out by the fact that I am filled with organs. If I had the choice to become just a solid block of rubber, but still be able to maintain... my consciousness and live my life. I just want my insides to be a solid block of rubber.
Then you would need a brain.
I haven't. No, I'm talking about like my torso, the cavity.
Like living your small intestine.
Yeah, from neck to pelvis, everything inside. I wish that it could be another way, because it's just so weird that it's just all in there, folded and stacked and undulating. So welcome, everybody. If this is the first time you're watching the Quite Frankly Podcast, I am live every night of the week with people like Matt. Every night of the week, only we are live on YouTube from Monday through Thursday, and soon we'll be able to simulcast onto both Facebook on the Capstone Broadcast Network, the home of Blunted Radio, our good buddy Rob Blunt, partner of ours, and also on YouTube. So you can check out Quite Frankly on YouTube for the other four nights a week. For everybody now, you should know that we are a show that handles a lot of news. On Facebook, we like to keep it a little bit lighter because we know the audience likes to have a little bit lighter things going on. But this is a controversial show, to put it plainly. But we always come from a place of love, and the phone line is always on. So by all means, Skype is Quite Frankly Podcast. That's a new one. For all time. No longer is on live TV. So if it's the first time you're watching, welcome to the show. Please follow us on all our platforms and we'll get around to that. We're going to do a little bit of overtime tonight. So everybody, we will do all the plugs in a little bit. Let's get back to here. Because of course we're in the middle of this. here we go. If insulin production is high, too much glucose will be absorbed, resulting in fatigue. okay? Whereas low insulin production can cause damage to arteries as glucose builds up. Cannabis use seems to regulate the process by promoting glucose absorption, increasing levels of good cholesterol, and improving one's overall metabolic functioning, though it's uncertain how exactly this happens. Some speculate that cannabis can regulate weight by interfering with cannabinoid receptors in the brain. These receptors are responsible for regulating memory and appetite. And when triggered by the compound cannabinol, can cause memory lapses and an insatiable appetite known as the munchies. Over time, however, these receptors can become desensitized, making the chronic user less likely to gain weight. Is it desensitized, making it less likely to gain weight because then you become less likely to have the munchies? Is that it? I mean, because that's not clear right there. If the receptors are desensitized a little bit, then obviously it just has to mean the end result is not gain weight, but because the munchies will probably become less and less. Matt, do you get the munchies?
Not really, no.
I was going to say, you never do any of that. I get a little bit more thirsty than anything. And if I can have a little bit more of, a vegetable platter around me, cheese, you know, Atkins approved. Others have suggested that obese people or people who chronically overeat do so because the process triggers the nucleus accumbens or the reward center of the brain. This is especially true when foods of choice are laden with concentrated sugars and refined starches, like those rainbow brownies you used to buy.
Those are addicting.
Addicting?
Addicting.
Oh.
Addictive, I mean.
They are. No, they're both. It's both. You're both right. Also known as... Okay. So, in other words, overeating acts like a drug. By stimulating the same area of the brain, cannabis users have their own high and don't need to overindulge in the same way. Gotcha. So, if you're an overeater, you've already got a problem. Between the ears. And only enhancing that just means, let's go!
Yeah, those people should just do heroin instead of weed because heroin will get them skinny or crack. If you want to lose weight, smoke.
Yes.
Look at DMX smoke crack his entire life. Dude was shredded up.
Is he still in prison?
No, I don't think so. I think he moved.
But does he live in... Is it Arizona or...
So, yeah, Arizona. That's, I think, where he moved to.
It was a shame what happened to him, man, because I saw a lot of DMX's interviews... And he was onto something, and I really feel like he's one of those guys that was fucked with by a shadowy hand inside the music industry.
Yeah, he was.
I think a lot of them. The hip-hop artists of the 1990s, there was a lot of very, very important and awake people there. A lot of awake people there. Now, I don't know what the hell is going on. It's just, it's embarrassing.
I don't know, little boozy, little oozy, little snoozy.
Are those real people?
Probably.
Yeah, but, DMX. But now, before we get too hung up on the idea that weed can keep you skinny, it's important to remember that consuming large amounts of calories without burning them off will certainly not help you in the weight loss plan. No matter how much ganja you smoke, some strains are bound to make you want to gorge. Most strains, in fact, but not all. So they're probably going to talk about sativas now. Some strains of cannabis, especially Landrace strains from South and East Africa, have actually been shown to suppress appetite because they contain the compound THCV. The cannabinoid is actually an antagonist of the CB1 and CB2 receptors, which means it blocks THC, keeping you from getting high and from getting the munchies. It is the same psychoactive effect as THC, however, it tends to take effect much more quickly. But the high is much shorter lived, which is why it is often bred out of popular strains. So, yeah, Durban Poison, they're talking about Super Silver Haze. G13, Green Crack, yeah, these are,
Green Crack,
you know, sativa dominant.
Yeah, that's why sativa's, that's good for
but
you.
But wait, G13 is indica strain, whose origins are still up to debate. The rumor is that G13 is one of the many strains produced secretly by the government in the 1960s and the 1970s in an effort to create an ideal indica. G13 was said to be the best of the 23 strains cultivated thanks to the ability to ease pain without causing drowsiness. The flavor profile of G13 is a pleasant one, featuring a sweet, earthy flavor with a slight pine overtone. I think the pine smell is called a terpene. And, you know, it's interesting because I was actually listening to... did you hear Savage yesterday?
No, I did not.
Well, yesterday he had somebody on, some kind of a phytonutrition expert or whatever the hell it was. And he was talking about... he was talking about terpenes. And the parts of the cannabis plant that are not, you know, the psychoactive THC, but are actually pure medicinal. And he was talking about things like terpenes, like, you know, pine and, you know, the lemon terpene, where you get that lemony scent. What is it?
Turpentine?
No, not turpentine. But it has something to do with the scent and the flavoring going on. If you guys know a little bit more about it, call on in and let us know the difference between all that, because they're talking about oregano, how oregano oil is pretty much like it's a cannabinoil.
Is it? I'll smoke some oregano right now.
It's not going to get you high, but as far as the oil goes for healing purposes. So THC, whole other story. But we're talking about industrial things that can be found, like, you know, industrial hemp, and in other places as well, for good healing. As you know, I know some people that take, not so much the, what was it we just said, which oil? Oh, oregano oil. I know some people that go right to the oregano oil for a number of things, and they swear by it. I think that it's actually inhibits tumor growth, and it's helpful in treating of cancer too, oregano oil. So there's a lot of things there that I still haven't jumped into, but have piqued my interest. So if you're out there saying this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about, I know. I'm, you know, I'm getting there. Maybe it's something we all take up for some of the shows in the middle of the week too. So that's something to think about. And I'm not able to see the chat room right now. So by all means, call in. The Skype is quite frankly podcast. What else do we have here? Oh, Matt, I'm glad you're here for this one. Check this out. First ever look at Robert the Bruce's face.
Oh, Robert the, that's what I always call Rob Corrado, Robert the Bruce.
Robert the Bruce, created 700 years after his death. So let me see if I can get a screen capture or something like that. Because we could talk about it. Because I have a question about this type of thing, when they recreate faces. But listen to this. Oh, this is 5 minutes long. That's his face, though. Robert the Bruce's face. Love. See?
Yeah. So that William Wallace.
Does that look like somebody you think would look like Robert the Bruce? You think?
Probably.
Damn, yo. He's way up in our face now. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to read a little bit from this, and then I have a question to ask. Scientists and historians have created the first image of Scottish warlord Robert the Bruce 700 years after his death. One image depicts the hero king in his prime, a large and powerful male, head with a muscular neck and stocky frame. This was a privileged individual who enjoyed the benefits of first-class diet and whose physique would have equipped him for the brutal demands of medieval warfare.
Does it mention how well hung he was?
It says that he had a substantial penis.
Tremendous.
they recreated the penis from the skull. Now, based on his skull, we know that his this was a pretty, okay. The second image reveals likely signs of leprosy, disfiguring the upper jaw and nose. Robert Bruce was a Scottish king from 1306 until his death in 1329, aged around 55. Constantly at war against his enemies, both at home and in English regime, culminating in the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314.
Where they fought like warrior poets.
That's it. He also campaigned in northern England and Ireland. You want to see his skull? Oh, this is a cast. This is a cast of the skull.
His father had leprosy, right? At least in the movie.
In Braveheart?
Yeah.
So. I want to watch Braveheart again. It's been a long time. It's on Netflix. It's just so long.
You have the look of your mother. I am your uncle, Argyle. There's a difference between the Scottish, the Irish, and an English accent.
That's good. They should all have different things. You know, separate but equal. Hold on.
Now only England is separate, right? Because other countries are still in the Union, right?
So, we're talking, yeah, just think, yeah, that's it. Interview with museum director. Here's another cannabis-friendly thing that you'd like. A little bit of art. We were talking about art before. Interview with museum director Ben Dronkers. What museum, you say? The Hash, Marijuana, and Hemp Museum. Matt, would you work there if you had a chance?
Might not be a good idea for them to put me around all those historical things, because I'll smoke it. I don't give a fuck.
What are you talking about? There's like paintings and stuff there. Are you gonna...
Oh. If it's made of hash, I'll try and get high off it.
What? Let's see.
Welder's away, bro. Someone needs their fix. They're going to get it, bro.
Why did you open a museum dedicated to cannabis? Well, cannabis and Amsterdam are inextricably linked. In the past, this was mainly due to hemp, which was used as raw material to make sails and rope in the shipping industry. Thanks to this little plant imported from Russia, but also developed by farmers in South Holland in Kennaputtien, our little country sailed across the world in the Golden Age. In the 17th century, the Netherlands was the most affluent nation in the world. It is unbelievable that the role played by hemp is omitted from the most history books. So, we all know about the Dutch and their exploits and their travels around the world. They were somewhat of a colonial power as well. But great culture, and yeah, I mean, to really look at this getting filled in, the influence, because we know how cannabis fits into even modern culture in some degree. Obviously, we're talking about it recreationally, and that seems to be the focus for a lot of people. Let's be honest. We're all, you know, medical marijuana. Come on, medical marijuana. And we all agree to a certain extent, but we know in the back, we're all just like the kids at Burger King, they're just like, you know, let's go to Burger King. Yeah, no, I just want to have let's go to Burger King. You're thinking about the ball pit the whole time. Although, I guess Burger King is exciting to a kid just in itself.
Yeah, kids
so
are stupid.
We have to have a different, just a different example out there somewhere. But the Amsterdam coffee shops, are they better known? Indeed, these days, the Netherlands has, of course, an international reputation in terms of recreational use of cannabis and hash. Here we go. And this is the first time I'm reading this. So, good job to the person writing this. They're asking all the right questions.
Dude, when they make weed legal in New York, I'm going to open up this spot where, like, these parents can come, you know, and get fucking high as fuck. And there'll be people there to babysit their kids, bro.
You're gonna open up a place where parents can go and bring their children so that the parents can get out of their mind stoned.
Yeah.
And you're just going to assign somebody to watch the kids while they smoke and not assign somebody to drive them all home?
Hey, come on, you can't drive stoned. You shouldn't be smoking.
You just described, you're not talking about, hey, come by, take a whiff of some new stuff, maybe take it home and enjoy. No, I want you to come here and I'm going to get you stoned as fuck. And we're going to watch your kids so that they're safe while you smoke.
Well, yeah, but we'll also, you know, be serving food and stuff.
I don't know.
I'm sober. That's why I'm you know, that's why I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
So I think that the better thing to do, Matt, is to open up a dispensary the day that it becomes legal and encourage people to come by and take a look. There's a smelling section, you know, what it'll be, almost be like wine tasting. You can sniff, you can, you know, whatever. And then go home, enjoy it there. Pop on Netflix, put the kids to bed, enjoy your night, make a nice meal for each other, make it a date night. No, come to my store, and I want you to get so destroyed that you have a hard time even driving home with the kids in the car. But don't worry. We're gonna Oh man. All good stuff. All good stuff. I feel good. Oh. This is the new track by Wake and Bake, Toronto.
Wake and Bake.
Love this. Love ya. Love you. All the landing strips. Good stuff. So we're going to keep that on the side there. Let's see here. So the museum. Let's go back to this. Ah, damn it. Whatever. I myself, well, you know, we got through this. But what I wanted to look at was his favorite display. Okay. Now, this is a painting. Talk about classic paintings. We were talking about that before with Einstein. Here's a classic painting. This is his favorite in the museum. And he says, however, he's talking about all the different types of things there. However, my favorite is the painting from 1660 by 17th century David Teniers de Jong. I probably didn't get that right. De Jong. He was a contemporary of Rembrandt. And you can see a little bit of Rembrandt in there as far as, you know, whatever. Rembrandt had very, you know, dark type of paintings. I think he was oil, right? Well,
yes.
Here we go. Rembrandt was Dutch. It's on display in Barcelona. It depicts people around a table smoking cannabis together, a fairly commonplace activity in the Netherlands during the time. And it's an interesting fact is that they are also wearing clothing made out of hemp textile, and their paper is drying there on a table that was also made from hemp at the time as well. In the alcove on the wall behind, there's a little bottle of hemp oil, then used to fuel lamps, and the artist may have used hemp oil to thicken the paint, to be honest. Many paintings from that time were painted on hemp cloth or canvas, a word derived from the cannabis. So there you go. So canvas was actually a word derived but from cannabis. Some cannabis. C-A-N-N-E-F-A-S. In short, this one painting illustrates the many uses of the plant, and it is a beautiful painting. And I agree. Wouldn't you, Matt?
Yeah, it is lovely.
Very lovely. It depicts a thriving culture of people. It's like, you know, unlock the plant. Problem is, everybody keeps harping on the smoking. If you legalize it, I'm telling you, it wouldn't be a...
It'll be legal soon.
It wouldn't be such a thing.
Trump will legalize it. We'll all be able to smoke in hospitals again and churches again. Everything will be back to the way it was. It'll be fucking great.
Yes.
Especially I definitely just want to be able to smoke in a hospital more than anything on earth.
You're not going to be able to get smoking in hospitals back. Are you kidding me? Where do you think? You see, you're... Okay.
Why not?
No, it's not going to happen. Maybe there'll be a... Are you talking about marijuana?
No, cigarettes.
Cigarettes. Yeah. I think all the doctors should be smoking cigars while they treat the patients.
Ash in your stomach cavity now.
Yeah. Little ash. Oh, man. I'll just scoop it
God,
out.
God, I just spilled some ash in you.
Well, everybody, I want to take this moment because we're about to wrap up the show now in a couple of minutes. Just because... You know, it's Friday. I haven't eaten yet. But I want to thank everybody for supporting this show. We're going to be growing this show. I want to take this show to bigger places. I want to get, you know, all the greatest guests and most interesting people in the world on and cover everything. Of course, tonight we took a little bit more of a recreational type of direction, which I think is a really good change of pace. Because for months now, it's been nothing but policy and politics and just idiocy of all types. And downright evil, to be honest. We meddle with lots of evil. The type of stuff that we talk about on the show, most of it controversial to the average person, I'd have to imagine, is radioactive material. But it's happening. And I know that we're living in a culture where we feel safe if we ignore the realities of humanity, the realities of life, history, what it's shown us, the realities of math, all of that stuff. And of course, you know, you put all that into perspective. And, you know, we look at this stuff from, we look at all the different types of stories that are plaguing us, and the things that we are told to ignore, look the other way from, we handle it. We have to. And that's what we talk about on the show. So you may not like it. You may not like some of the, you know, some of the, we have to speak bluntly sometimes. You may not like the statistics and numbers and what they say, but this is what we do, especially when we gobble up social justice issues and all that other stuff. Because you know what? The balanced approach, the non-hysterical approach to what's really hurting people in society right now and what's really destroying us in the media and on social media, and what's, you know, the reason why our Thanksgiving was a little stiff with your some family members, why some many people have unfriended themselves on your Facebook or anything like that. We got to be able to touch this radioactive material. So this is this show is the incubator. An incubator. There's many people out there doing things that that are contributing toward a little bit more healthy view of the world and a healthy way of discussing the world. But that's what the show is about. Now, we take the standpoint from classical liberals, which means, you know, adherence to a constitutional system, libertarianism, along that point of view. The individual, not the collective. So, in the individual being able to live their lives however they want. And that's where we are at. That's what we do. So we do have a bias. I guess we do. But I want to thank the people that support this show now. So I'm going to take time to thank all my bosses. Starting with Michael Wells. Nikki Solis. Andrew Great Dame. I wrote Andrew's letter today. Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little. I wrote Perry and Stacy Little's letter today, too. Man, their last letter to me was a trip. Perry sent me an outline of a firearm as well. Everybody's been sending me an outline. If I didn't know who people were, it'd be really disturbing. Mike May, who made the intro we couldn't play tonight because of Facebook. And, of course, Matt Smith, who I haven't written his yet. I'm writing his tomorrow. These all go out on Monday anyhow. Sean Collins. Max Ancaparato. Christian Peppers. Rob Corrado. His is probably going to be written in a cipher. In that cipher we were talking about. LS Dan. What's going on, Dan? If you're out there, Dan, good to see you. Good to have you with us or listening to us on the podcast late at night. This is going to be a good one to listen to at night. We got really deep with DC and Einstein. Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, she got one today. I wrote hers today. Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, Matt DeFabio of the 1984 Club. Thank you, my man. Because every good side needs a dark side. Brad Meyer, his as well was written today. Stephanie Kay from Stephanie Kay Beauty. I wrote hers as well. Kate McCallum. What's going on, Kate? Good girl, bad girl, Jenny Lee. She always seems to make things interesting. Marianne Hart and all of her prairie cats and cats, Siberian tigers. Gadget Doc, thank you, Gadget Doc, for all the time you put in and thought you put in to our behind-the-scenes workings of this podcast. And, of course, Bren Antilles. Antilles, Captain Antilles from Rogue Squadron. We are going to be getting you your first letter this month, too. That's going out to the UK. And, of course, the last but not least, but definitely the last one to have become a patron and a boss of mine, Mr. Pierre. Pierre, if you're out there, Rogie, remember, my Parisian friend. He's from France. And if I saw correctly, I think that the letter is going to Normandy. So that's going to be cool. So, Pierre, this one's for you. Remember, 1776. That does not happen. That does not see through to the conclusion without your help, man. Without you and the rest of France's help. Thank you, guys. Okay, we are fellow travelers in this this liberty revolution thing. So thank you so much for the support, my man. And next time the band is out in France, which will be the first time, we definitely have to play a gig together. All right, guys, so that's it for that. We did Wake and Bake. Letters out on Monday. And we also have to have a talk. I think on Monday we're going to be doing some global warming, climate change. I have three things to read together that are just so amazing to put this one to bed, or at least to put it on its heels and to just throw back the idea of consensus science, which even if you're not in the scientific community, you know that's not how science works, because we learned the scientific method in fifth grade. We know what fact and theory are. We know this stuff. But, you know, lots of things are different these days. You're not up is down is up, right is left is right. In is out, good is bad is evil, evil's good. I don't know. CO2 kills the planet, or CO2 feeds the plants, which give us oxygen, which keep us alive. These are all things that I thought were once common knowledge things, but we're going to get all to that on Monday night. It's going to be good. Listen, if you haven't heard an opposing opinion, come by. We try to have a good humor about it. The lines are always on. Don't flip off and shut down because you think, oh, man, this is going to challenge something that I might believe. You might sway my opinion. And by all means, don't take my word for anything. Go out there and check it. You know, there's deception everywhere. Okay, there's deception with the news sources that say you should be afraid of deception. They are the deceivers. And then, of course, there's everything else. And people, good, well-meaning people who don't have an agenda, can deceive people around them just through innocent amounts of ignorance on a subject. That's just what it comes down to. So have different conversations. If this show seems like it will be a different one for you, give it a try, because we may not agree on most things, anything, or just some things. But I promise you it's not going to be a malicious thing, unless you make it malicious. Then I have a tendency to meet fire with fire. Right, Matt?
That always works best.
Oh, here's another one from Wake and Bake Beats. This is one I wanted to bring up. It seems like it sounds like a sample from Above and Beyond. I think it's Above and Beyond. I love that album. What is it called? Tri-State album? Above and Beyond's Tri-State album is just like, it has to be one of those iconic albums in that genre of music, as like Master of Puppets would be for metal. You know? Has to be. The Tri-State album is awesome if you are into that chill type of music. So, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. Matt, anything you want to say before we get off?
No. Just be prepared. Everyone, just be prepared to start to kneel.
Hold on, you want to see? It's 8:15. We might as well just go to 8:30. Here's the CIA. Because there's a lot of talk about fake news. And I want to do this. And if this is where everybody tunes out, that's okay. Because this is for the podcast crew that really like the overtime that we do. Okay, ready for this? Now, I was looking all over the place for another quote that I can't find. And Gadget Doc and anybody else out there, because I don't see you in the chat room, please write this down because I need you guys to try to help me scour the internet to find this quote. I'm going to give you all I can from memory, anything about it that might be able to lead us somewhere. But here's CIA admitting to creating fake news to fool and control the public. And then you ask yourself whether or not this this still happens today.
It was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS,
you hear that?
We had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Would you say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect at doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
You know, so you look at all that, and you listen to all that, and you hear about fake news. I mean, this is the way it was, the way it is. Now, we can point to things. Now, we know the CIA is used to destabilize so many entities, whether they be entire nation states, it doesn't matter, okay? But as far as manipulation and psychological warfare, I mean, of course. Now, we've seen the media manipulation in different ways. You know, there was no WikiLeaks that came out this week, that came out this year, that showed us a link between the CIA and the news media. What we did see is a link between a major political party and the news media, pretty much controlling all of it, where people, where journalists are submitting their stories to the DNC for approval before they're sending it to their own editors. When you see that stuff play out, and when you see anchors and stuff talking about things in emails saying, well, listen, I know I'm a hack anyway. I mean, this is maybe the main culprits are different, but this is the same thing. It's the same kind of manipulation. And then you just have to ask yourself, what is worse? You know, a government agency doing this, but then again, what are they trying to brainwash us on? Sentiments toward other foreign countries, maybe? Who knows? Obviously, this is just a little bit more of a generalized. It's not talking about one story in particular. But, you know, Here there was a quote. It was given. This is what I wanted to give you guys. It was given by a guy, I don't know his goddamn name. I think it was John. That doesn't help anything, though. And he was receiving an award. I think he was, it was in New York. It was in the early 20th century. He was receiving some kind of a Journalism Lifetime Achievement Award. It was a Lifetime Achievement Award, I believe. And in his Lifetime Achievement Award speech, he pretty much outed everything about how you print what you're told. Everybody in this room knows that they print what they're told to print or else they're getting fired. Or he pretty much went out there and he chopped down at the knees print journalism, print media, back in the early 20th century of already having lost most of its freedom in reporting and most of its integrity. And it was such, it was like a paragraph long, because it was in his speech. And I remember holding on to that quote for a long time, and I don't have it anymore. So if anybody out there knows anything, either message it to the fan page, send it to me in a message on Tumblr, Twitter, whatever the hell it is. I'd love to check it out and see that again, because it ties in with all this the fake news stuff. So a lot of people have been digging up, you know, instances where the news has been fake in the last year alone. People are going throughout history and digging up stuff like this, where the CIA is pretty much admitting that they've got their hands in, you know, submitting news to other foreign companies. Hold on. See if Moonlit Matt's got anything. Moonlit Matt, hey,
let me pause you real quick.
You found him?
Live stream. Yeah. You hear me?
Yeah.
Just hit a pause. All right, so fake news. Oh, what I was listening to. I'm pretty sure it's pretty lined up, right?
Yeah, but did you hear that quote that I gave out, or any of the information about that quote?
Which quote exactly?
Damn it. Well, maybe Gadget.
I was listening, but my girlfriend was texting me, so I was trying to, you know.
All right, no problem. So then let's just get around to what you have to say, Moonlit Matt from West Virginia.
West Virginia, wild and wonderful. But it's not even – I wasn't even calling about the quote specifically, just fake news in general. Like, the problem with fake news is people are so eager to believe whatever there is to believe, as long as it already coincides with their own beliefs. Because you could put anything about, like, Trump's a racist or whatever. Like, I mean, I'm going political here. If Trump's a racist or Hillary's the queen or whatever, and people are like, oh, yeah, I believe in this. Did you see
the girls crying today? There was Hillary made.
Oh, I did.
Hillary, yeah. Matt, did you see this? Hillary made an appearance somewhere, and like it's, I don't know, she made a speech somewhere.
It was Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill? Well, I don't know. Wherever the hell she was, there was a gaggle of girls and women waiting for her, and they were sobbing and crying. It was almost like Stations of the Cross, a modern Stations of the Cross, where you know, it's like the weeping women at along the crucifixion trail with Jesus. I was like, what the hell am I looking at here? So, oh, my God, the crying. Please.
But here's my thing with how I look at every news article I ever read, and actually I think you touched on this earlier, sort of, is that once you see anything, even mainstream, not mainstream news, take it as a lie. It is a lie. What you just heard from this one website is a lie. Go try to prove it's a lie or prove it's true, well, like anything like that. Like, assume everything you hear at first is absolutely a lie.
Oh, yeah.
And go from there. Because a lot of people, like what I first said, like when I started this, is a lot of people, they hear something, if they like it, they'll just accept it. And like, that's truth, and they'll go and share it, all that. The same, you get it from the left, you get it from the right, on every issue. It's not some issues, it's every issue with a lot of people, because that's where bias comes in, as we, again, was mentioned before I even called in, with like bias people, like, oh, you got bias. Everyone has bias. But like, how hard you want to lock down on that bias is of your choosing. You just got like, that's why you need to just assume everything you initially hear is a lie, and to get confirmed, like, you know, facts from, you know, different media outlets or whatnot, different, like, actual people on the ground there at a certain spot or something.
Well, let's listen to this. Let's listen to this one. You bring this up before. Here is here's Hillary Clinton today talking about fake news, which, okay, you know, so here we go. Listen to this.
The epidemic of malicious fake news.
Okay, remember, she just said the epidemic of malicious fake news. So we're I mean, let's just keep going.
False propaganda that flooded.
False propaganda. I mean, these people are just the masters of saying things without saying anything and complete redundancies to make things very common, very simple phrases seem so much more dire.
That's my whole thing, is because it actually comes from that earlier today with Hillary Clinton's, like, you know, fake news is a big problem and all that. She very eloquently said that you are all fucking stupid and we need to stop the stupid stuff that you believe and fill you with stupid stuff. Like, not, you know, exactly how she phrased it, but that's how I see it, is like, you got fed the stupid stuff, like the fake shit we don't like, and that's the stuff you believe. We need to stop that and give you the fake shit you will believe.
Well, hey, let's keep going with her then.
Social media over the past year, it's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences.
This is like borderline 1990s marijuana drug PSA type of cheesy right now. Can you imagine a woman that was just about to – she was a cunt hair away from taking the presidency, and she's up there with a straight face talking about just the how dangerous fake news is. I mean, we seek out fake news for fun. I mean, oh my God.
But, you know, as you said earlier, fake news is fun. We know because we cross reference usually.
Exactly.
A lot of people need to start assuming, even like from
the problem is that not that the fake news is dangerous. The problem is that we need to control fake news because our very, very stupid populace that we intend with every fiber in our being to keep stupid and keep in the dark and keep only talking about superficial things and never going into history and not revising history to fit your narratives and not going out and making decisions for yourself without, you know, feeling guilty for betraying the rest of the herd. That's what's really going on here. It's not that fake news is dangerous. Fake news is not dangerous to an enlightened public. What you're pretty much saying here right now is that we can't expect more of our people because we don't want our people to do more for themselves. Because if they do more for themselves and think more clearly, then we are out of a job.
Yeah, what is it? A more obedient populace is like a better populace or something like that. That's what you want. They want this, like, you know, obey government. And obey, you know, the news, obey the government, blah, blah, blah. Just obey your fucking masters, all that shit. But with this fake news bullshit is assuming that the majority, from Hillary's thing earlier, because actually I should say that on Facebook, like how you have it set up now, I did not hear anything that you just played with Hillary.
Really?
Yeah, I heard nothing. It was blank. Right. I was waiting for it.
You know,
and then I looked on the screen.
Let me get through this clip then. I'm going to have to hang up with you because I think – because it's a new YouTube, a new Skype account. So all the settings that Mike had set up so that when you call in, it doesn't lessen other things. I think that's what's going on. So hold on.
Okay.
Let me take Gadget Talk's call real quick. You want to say something real quick before we get off?
No, man, just thought, do you think, write my letter, or are you going to get another gun outline?
Send them all, man. Thank you so much. I can't wait.
And have a good weekend.
You too, my man. I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Hold on, let's call Gadget Doc.
Hey.
Gadget Doc, what's going on, man?
Looked up a few quotes for you real quick.
Yeah, I saw the first one, that John Pilled, that wasn't it.
No, but Joseph Campbell, I think, works for the topic beautifully.
Joseph Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I didn't see that one. Let me read it. How's your day going so far, man?
Good, good. It's chill.
All right.
I did my other thing. Got into a fight with an SJ, some feminist.
Where?
Up on Twitter, believe it or not.
Oh, God. Well, listen, that's...
Well, some lady outed out some socially inept guy for... All right, she interviewed the guy for a job. Is it a developer?
Yeah.
She blotted out his name and his contact details. But he basically asked her out on a date. Or asked her out for drinks is what he asked her to do. You know, he said, yeah, you're nice. You seem cool. Would you like to go get some drinks with me? And then she's like, men alert. This is what not to do. Okay. Granted,
yeah.
This is socially inept. Probably unprofessional, depending on...
Oh, wait, this was after the interview?
Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, I mean, it was a, yeah, like you said, socially inept. It's that there's no decorum there from a professional sense whatsoever. But this doesn't come down to sexism. This comes to unprofessionalism.
Right. She used the hashtag harassment.
Oh.
She might say...
Well, he's an idiot. He's an idiot because, you know, it could be very easily interpreted that way. And he's an idiot for even putting himself in the position.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And
but
if he doesn't know, he knows now. The IT world is very liberal. You can get blackballed fairly quickly.
Oh, so they went out and they doxed him?
They didn't completely dox him. They didn't put any of his details out there. But basically, they ostracized
him. Gotcha.
He's up in your part of the world, New York.
Oh, well, you know, poor New York guys these days. Well, here, let me get around to this. Thank you for the... thank you for the quotes here. The Joseph Campbell quote is, myth is much more important and true than history. History is just journalism, and you know how reliable that is.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I have to find the other one I was thinking of, though. I've been out of touch with it for a while, but anything else you wanted to add before?
Just remember, this fake news narrative is a twofold thing. It appears to me. One is censorship and basically being able to propagandize or control the information narrative, of course. But without getting too conspiratorial, I was seeing how... Did you see the article I sent earlier about the pedophilia from the New York Times and how the KGB used, how they were profiling a guy, how the KGB used to dump, you know, doctored photos or have you in a compromised position so they could control you?
No, I think I saw you send me a few links, but I haven't gotten around to them yet.
All right, so very quickly, it's in today's New York Times. Guy out of Britain, he's a defector from the KGB. Apparently, he's in trouble because there was some forbidden photos found on his computer, which is child pornography. So they're already building the narrative that the Russians are going to put child porn on people's computers. That's how they're building that narrative. So it's an interlocking thing.
You think that they're building this narrative to try to possibly deflect away from what is going to continue to be found out about Pizzagate?
Yeah, possibly. It's highly speculative, but it's the timing of the article is circumspect. So that's weird. And then we also help build on this too. The Intercept today, Glenn Greenwald's blog, zine, whatever you want to call it, showed how only the Clinton people got fooled by fake news by a Clinton supporter. That was in our. It's kind of a longer longer read.
I'll read it over the weekend then, because I have to put all this stuff together for a bigger talk in the middle of the week. But I wanted to bring up these two clips because they're just so short and it happened like yesterday or something.
Right.
Anything else?
Yeah, one last thing, because it's probably going to fall on or
Your Skype is really breaking up and it's hard to follow.
All right, very quickly, Democrats are looking to close the government. We'll be following this for a while.
I saw that. I saw that one. That one's fun. Hey, thank you so much for the call, Gadget Doc. That is Gadget Doc in the chat room, everybody. Please check him out. He's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of working knowledge. I saw that definitely. Matt, did you see that? What did Gadget Doc just say? The threat to shut down the government because of coal miners retirement pensions or something like that. It's the funniest thing in the world to see these people, Democrats, claiming to care about coal miners' jobs and their retirements. All of a sudden, they're the party that's responsible for the destruction of the entire industry, and actually states like West Virginia and their own unemployment problems because of all the people that have been put out of the industry with all these the EPA strangulation. And now all of a sudden, here we go. They're posturing to shut down the government. If anybody believes this, if anybody takes shit like that, that's what I'm talking about, fake stuff. Just take note of what people do and say, both parties. This is ridiculous. Believe that they give a shit. Get out of here. Get out. Let's go to the end of Clinton and the fake news stuff.
Lives are at risk. Lives of ordinary people just trying to go about their days to do their jobs, contribute to their communities.
Lives are at risk.
It's a danger that must be addressed.
It's a danger. This fake news, it must be addressed. Guess what? We have just the thing for it. Wouldn't you know? Every time they come out to diagnose a problem, they usually roll out the solution right there. Or at least they gave you the wink.
As quickly, bipartisan legislation is making its way through Congress to boost the government's response to foreign propaganda. And Silicon Valley is starting to grapple with the challenge and threat of fake news.
Foreign propaganda. Ah, what does that mean? Sounds like reverse McCarthyism to me. Because we know that when we were trying to weed out all the foreign propaganda that was trickling its way into the country in the 20th century, into our cultural institutions on campus and in Hollywood, when we were looking for commies every day, that was bad. But now we need to have rapid response of the government so that this fake news that's coming in from foreign places, which, of course, the reason why it's fake news, it's foreign influence that we must stop, is because what? They're saying that the only reason why the elections around the world are going the way they are, where countries are finding their balls and countries are saying we want to be sovereign nations again and don't want to answer to international conglomerates, whether they be bankers or whether they be unelected bureaucrats in the EU or the United Nations or anything else, because they're claiming that the fake news and the foreign influence is really influence that's helping people who are coming after the new type of far left socialist collective type of one world government they're trying to build. It's reverse McCarthyism now. Now they're trying to get rid of the notions of freedom and independence. And people who are even trying to push back against them because they've been able to tilt the scales. It's not a repudiation, and it's not a rejection of the media that is bought and sold and controlled by them. And when I say them, I mean establishment Republicans, Democrats. They're all progressive. Progressivism has to do with progressing and growing the size and influence and scope of government, which of course is just all power control that touches every aspect of a person's life and acts mostly on an arbitrary basis. And once that government obviously swells and swells and swells, it just becomes more and more political. Because as it swells It means more people are working it. More people are controlling it. More people are tinkering with it and growing it and modifying it. And what do people bring along with them? Human baggage, which is biases, very nasty ideologies. You know, they say goodbye to the Constitution. They say goodbye to rule of law. They get into identity politics. They get into selective enforcement of law. They build up narratives. They create victims. They propose solutions. And here you go. It's never about taking responsibility for what their ideas have already caused as far as damage goes. It's not so much that foreign policy meddling, destabilization of currencies and the Middle East and other continents. I mean, it's not like it's all coming back to bite us. The financial crises and the wars that turn into migrant crises and immigration crises. And, of course, you know, they start turning all of their media surrogates in on the people who are resisting everything else that they're doing as far as bringing in migrants and trying to change the voter bloc, because those are going to be new dependents and you don't want people to have their own liberties. It's just happening. That's just what it happened. In the pushback, they're not taking responsibility for the pushback against them. They're blaming it on fake news, fake dangerous news that's trying to take us back to a time that's just so far in the past. It's archaic. Being a sovereign individual. It's archaic having rights and privacy. It's archaic to be able to defend yourself. It's archaic to be proud of where you come from while not hating somebody else or looking down on another place. It's archaic to even have a healthy sense of patriotism. These are the people. It's very, very dangerous. It's dangerous. And you don't have to give up your compassion. You're not lacking in compassion if you think otherwise and you oppose them. You're not. But they make you think you are.
It's imperative that leaders in both the private sector and the public sector step up to protect our democracy and innocent lives. The epidemic
in our innocent lives. You know how many innocent lives have been lost because of her? And that's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. Yeah. That's the other thing. And of course, she's the victim of fake news, too. Her campaign. You know. And just to say fake news now, that's two syllables. Very easy to say fake news. It's a lot harder to say and repeat over and over again, a vast right-wing conspiracy. Fake news, you got it down to two syllables. It's easy. So, it's almost like she's up there saying, you know, I'm offering myself up here as an example. A sacrificial lamb, if you will. Look at me. Of the implicit danger of fake news so that the Alinskyites of the future will have a much better chance of seizing power for good. That's the problem. All right, guys. That's where we're going to end tonight. Yo, listen to this this Bill O'Reilly remix. So, that's from Wake and Bake. Thank you guys for joining us. That was a long time ago. It's 8:44. We went live at 7. All right, guys. So we did a 44-minute overtime. I hope you guys enjoyed. See you on Monday night on, quite frankly, podcast.com, which is just a YouTube. Check out the YouTube. And we'll see you all soon. Oh, be good.